The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Never, never fuck with the king.
Welcome.
Guaranteed disaster, like eating a burrito before sex.
Hello and welcome to THSP's fifth annual Thanksgiving special extravaganza. Gather around the Thanksgiving dinner table, boys and girls. As always, it is us, Tim and Chris, with our special guest, the Puerto Rican nightmare, Dave Rodriguez, from Sequel This. Tonight, Dave tackles, I guess what one could only assume, as a Thanksgiving-esque type horror movie. And by that I mean that it was mentioned in a random Google search that with, I believe, five or six other Thanksgiving-type horror movies set at or around Thanksgiving. The title of said film is Poultrygeist, Night of the Dead Chicken, by Troma Films. So you know it's got to be highbrow and intellectually stimulating film. So with those little tidbits and giblets out of the way, my friends, Dave and Chris, how the hell are you? Dave?
I'm doing great. I can't believe I'm doing this again.
For the fifth time.
I mean, I swear to God, it's just like, it's me constantly putting my hand in the disposal, shredding my hand, then letting it heal, and then putting it in the disposal again a year later. Yay!
Well, Dave, didn't you tell me as a kid you used to stick your finger in an electric socket and no matter how many times you kept doing it, you just kept doing it? You were told not to?
That's why I had Mexican fro hair.
That's what I love about these Thanksgiving get-togethers. You know, instead, we don't get mad over politics. We get mad over the movie we watched. So that's great.
there's always that underlying animosity. Yet, you know, at the end of the day, it's somewhat cathartic. Like, we all come out of it, and you know, it's kind of like one of those wilderness retreats where we go into the woods and you know make a fire out of two sticks and. Are hungry, but then we come out of it, and we're all better friends for it, sort of.
Oh, so, Dave, any big Thanksgiving plans coming up?
Actually, we are hosting Thanksgiving again this year, much smaller group that's coming. It's just Megan's mom and her brother. So, you know, and my kids are actually with their mom this year, so... Yeah, it's really just, you know, us four and then those two, so just six of us, and we're going to just do it at the house, and hopefully I won't be, you know, quite as hammered on scotch this year as I was last year. Last year, I was completely obliterated. I got annihilated with my brother-in-law. We drank an entire bottle of Johnny Walker, and nice. Then went, and then, so he left. And then I was like, I wanted to buy a TV, you know, for the base. I was like in the market for a TV. I'm like, I want to go Black Friday shopping. So I made my stepson drive me to his place of business, which is Target. And I stumbled around the parking lot, ran into the store, and was like, rah! And he's like, you're embarrassing me. Stop it. And I didn't end up buying a TV. Thank God, because... They didn't have the one I wanted, like, on sale, but I ended up getting a TV the very next day.
So this sounds like an average day for you, though, Dave. I gotta be honest.
it's a Thursday much like any other Thursday, except there was turkey and stuffing, which isn't an everyday occurrence. Mm,
okay.
Well, that's awesome, man. Chris, how about you, man? What do you got big going on for
Thanksgiving? Well, just, you know, family get-togethers, but I have to say, I was just gearing myself up to do this episode because after watching this movie, in the back of my mind, I was just laughing uncontrollably over the fact that Dave is going to have to talk about this particular film.
You were watching it. Were you just imagining me watching it and my reaction, knowing me for as many years as we've known each other?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I could just imagine your jaw dropping, your eyes bulging out, and you're just sitting there going, "What have I gotten myself into?" Again. You know, it's amazing. It doesn't take much cajoling to get you to participate in these. Usually it's just a little bit of like, I don't know if I want to do this, guys. And then somehow you still manage to keep participating, which is great because it helps.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, God.
Dave, you just love being on here and talking with us and ragging on whatever god-awful atrocity we present to you. So
I am a podcast whore. I was just recently on Junk Drawer. What the fuck? What the fuck is that?
Don't worry about it.
What are you trying to say?
So, I am a podcast whore, and I am on a lot of podcasts. So, you know, it's one of those things. But this is sort of a tradition. So, you know, it does not take much cajoling.
That's not what I don't get that impression. I get that impression whenever I mention to Tim about this, and he says, "Well, I don't know. Dave's telling me he's not sure he wants to do this."
I'm in Guam.
after this recording, after this episode drops, I will be in town in December for to see Star Wars with you and Mark, and I'll be starting my pitch for next Thanksgiving for you, Dave.
Yeah, it takes Tim about a year to wear me.
I have to lay a lot of groundwork.
Yeah, there's a lot of foundation.
The good news about this, Dave, is that after this episode's over, you have quite a bit of time to breathe, okay? don't worry about it.
Dave works around the clock on fighting words. I don't know what's going on with that.
Where is it?
He's apparently doing a lot of research, though.
Well, yeah, you just wait till the next episode. I mean, you'll see that research, those months and months of research that we do. Crazy.
Should I hold my breath now?
No, but Kevin, and I say this a lot, but I think maybe at the start of next year we'll start looking. I mean, it's just too crazy this time of year to like try to do something. We've been talking about it, and it was incredibly fun to podcast again with Kevin on that episode of Sequel This that we just did.
Very good, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome. It turned out great. Kevin did an awesome job, and yeah, I mean, it was fun podcasting with him. So, I mean, we'll talk and see what's going on, so stay tuned. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm here on that horse podcast.
All right. Well, okay, boys. God, I can't talk tonight. Okay, boys, before we carve up this turkey of a flick, let's pause for a quick Speakeasy Podcast Network commercial break from the Junk Drawer Boys, and then we'll roll that trailer for Poltergeist. We'll be right back after this with Dave's fantastic and frantically funny synopsis.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Sit down, man. Crack a beer. I'm just telling Feeler about how Vlad the Impaler used to shove steaks up donkeys' asses.
Dude, this dude is so fucking gross, but it's so fucking awesome.
It sure is, buddy.
If you want to learn about everything from Vlad the Impaler to anime to rap feuds, join us here at the Junk Drawer Podcast.
That's right. Crack a beer, learn a little, and we'll talk about
our junk!
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
You can find us at thedrunkdrawerpod.podbean.com and at thespeakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. Also, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Junk Drawer.
You the manager.
You know it.
Give me a job. I'm a high school graduate just trying to make his way in this topsy-turvy world. My life, it sucks. And my one true love?
I'll stay true to you. It'll never change me. Uh-huh. I promise.
There's a left-wing lipstick lesbo liberal.
Ah, Wendy!
Arby?
You said you'd never change, but here you are. You're just bumping tacos.
You're hired.
What do?
You're the counter girl.
You fool!
This restaurant is built on ancient Tomahawk tribe sacred Indian burial ground. Get out while you still can. Get out! Save yourselves! Save yourselves!
I'll have the Sloppy Jose value meal.
Good morning, Tromaville!
We will never rest while big business tramples over the rich history and culture of the Native Americans while simultaneously slaughtering countless innocent chickens.
Hey, General, what are these tiny little bumps all over my chicken?
Those are our new flavor pods.
Ooh, flavor pods.
Look at the atrocities American Chicken Bunker performs on the chickens that you serve to the ignorant masses.
We produce only high-quality chicken-flavored foodstuffs.
And now, the most important part. The secret zest sauce.
Every leg, every thigh is fresh, tasty, and oh my God, my ass! The chicken! The chickens come back from the dead!
They are very slowly approaching the entrance.
They'll break through faster than the 5 minutes it took me to turn Wendy into a full-blown lesbian.
Damn it.
We need action before they turn the glass into lesbians.
Chicken has declared jihad on us all!
Okay, Bubba, take it away!
Gotcha. Alright, guys. Well, so, here we are again, huh? It's that time again. I mean, come on, guys. The smell of turkey and well-frozen boogers are in the air. The leaves have turned colors. And people are getting their credit cards ready to max them out on gifts for themselves and maybe knock out a Christmas present or two, but mostly for themselves. It's a wonderful time of year that I really do look forward to. Unfortunately, this time of year brings another tradition, one that requires patience, intestinal fortitude, and a willingness to punish myself for the entertainment of all. Yes, it's time for my yearly visit on That Horror Show podcast with my supposed friends, Tim and Chris.
Supposed?
Supposed.
Very much.
They supposedly like me, making me watch horrific movies and then record my reaction to their amusement. It's a tough job, but the masochist in me keeps coming back like an idiot who dips his junk into boiling hot water, yells because it hurts, then dips them in again to see if it will still hurt the second time. Spoiler alert, dummy! It still does hurt! Stop doing that! I digress. Here I am once again putting myself through hell for you all. The movie I was forced to watch is the quote-unquote classic horror musical, sort of, from 2006, Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead. Now I know what you are all thinking. Man, with a title like that, this should be an Oscar-caliber masterpiece of modern cinema. And it would be right if you had just dropped acid and also find staring at the toilet, waiting for it to flush by itself, entertaining. However, Is this film as bad as the other movies I've watched in the past? Well, buckle up, people, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. I'm not talking about a crotch riddled with STDs. Or maybe I am. Who knows? The movie starts, as all good movies do, with two high school grads humping in an ancient Indian burial ground. Because nothing gets me all hot and bothered like desecrating graves with my love juices. However, they still have their clothes on, which makes the guy, who is named Arby, to comment that he is the best dry humper in school per the basketball team. Awkward, but let's move forward. The session intensifies with a girl named Wendy taking off her top after Arby struggles with it for some time. While they are writhing all over the ground like two dying fish, a bunch of hands burst out of the ground. They all like to touch, apparently. One shoves a finger in Arby's ass, which he enjoys, of course. It comes out with shit on it, giving us viewers the pertinent information that Arby does not wash or clean his ass well. Thanks. I will file that info right up there with don't eat urinal cakes or the yellow snow. Right up there in the old memory bank. All of a sudden, a random old hobo with an axe enters the scene, presumably to kill them. They both become aware of his presence and stop the sexy time to see what the old man... to see that the old man is not there to kill him. No, you see, the camera conveniently pans down to show him rubbing his meat sausage, his old balls hanging down for all to see. He looked like a saggy pendulum slapping around. One thing you have to give this movie is that it pays attention to detail. This causes the two lovebirds to flee, leaving the man lonely with only his winky axe and a random zombie hand to keep him company. Suddenly, old man Strokey gets a hand up his ass and it comes out of his face, killing him. Damn it! I thought he was the main character. For the title sequence, yay! The film then shifts time to a college semester later because, well, time constraints, although I'm sure interesting things happened. Either way, we come across a protest featuring college kids and a group of lesbians from the group CLAM. Don't ask me what the acronym stands for because I wasn't paying attention. Let's just roll with lesbians and call it a day. There are other kids which have signs that say, I love cock. Let that marinate there for a second. I love cock. If you are caught holding a sign that says, I love cock, even if you really do love cock, you have to question your life choices. It's also been about 5 minutes, and this movie has had a lot of cock in it. Not too much for my liking, but if you look, if you love cock in chicken or penis form, this film's for you. Okay, this protest is against a chain chicken restaurant called American Chicken Bunker. Apparently, the protagonists do not want the chicken fast food joint erected. On an Indian burial ground, the same one that Arby and Wendy bump uglies at the beginning of the film. Also, what is it with horror movies and Indian burial grounds? Why are these typically more haunted than others? Is it the Indians? Is it the burials? What about the grounds? Those damn grounds strike again. Hate them grounds. Speaking of Indians, one is hammered and vomits all over the place because... stereotypes are fun, apparently, and why the hell not? Enter Arby, back from a lonely semester of college. He comes across Wendy, who has become a lesbian with the hairy clam leader. Never thought I would ever say those words, but here we are. They start making out topless, which excites but also angers Arby that he's lost the love of his life to Harry Mick Lesbopants. Cue the first musical number of the movie, which... I briefly digress that I had no idea that this was a musical. So you can imagine my horrified surprise that all of a sudden singing started to occur. I'm not a fan of musicals usually, so this new development was not welcome. Yet, there was something strangely familiar about all of this. Anyway, moving on. So the musical number rhymed words such as queef and beef, plus also features the very white Arby using the N-word. Again, why the Academy shunned this film is beyond my comprehension. Anyway, the point of the song is that despite Wendy, Arby is going to get a job at American Chicken Bunker. Because spite jobs always work out well. Wow, spite jobs actually sound like some sort of sexual act that features hands, feet, anger, and regret. All the necessary food groups of a healthy sexual activity. So, Arby goes in, meets the manager, an angry black man in a beret, yet another stereotype, checked off the list. The job. He meets some of his co-workers, a covered in traditional garb that looks like a ninja-like Arab woman who we will call Hummus because I don't remember anyone's name, or I just don't care. She apparently has a prayer station so she can pray to Allah in between frying chicken because that's a thing. Either way, he also meets Sancho, the gay Mexican. Once again, not his name, but just go with it, people. We also meet Hillbilly Carl, a large hairy fellow who didn't get the memo, but if you're going to wear your pants low, you need to pull your undies up. So we get introduced to him via a full butt crack close-up. Talk about an intro. So, they're getting some of the food ready, which involves making their famous two-herb chicken. Apparently, this involves rubbing a raw chicken on your crotch and then throwing it into the fryer sans breadcrumbs. Yum-tastic. The crotch juices enhance the flavor of the chicken in a way that's tart, yet sumptuous. Grand opening time, and the first customer is Ron Jeremy. Thanks. So the place starts humming, and these have to be the worst fast food workers ever. Basically, them making the food involves half-cooked chicken on a shitty-looking bun, then spooging mayo all over it, which makes it look like a load sandwich. Yum! So an incredibly fat man comes in, and apparently he's Jared from Subway after he gains all the weight back that he lost from eating those delicious sandwiches. And I believe this movie was made before it was found out that he was a pedophile. However, this isn't the actual Jared, so don't worry. They didn't have a large enough budget to get him. Either way, in the bad food he's given is a pulsating egg that Jared eats without thinking about it. Because who wouldn't want to eat a green, disgusting, pulsating egg? This, of course, makes him sick, and he runs to the bathroom. Cue the toilet POV cam, which shows a close-up of his dirty ass sitting on the bowl. This should never be a thing. Toilets do not need POV cams. Well, it's time for loud, messy shitting as he shits in the toilet and all over the bathroom. While this is happening, the lesbians come in to argue with Arby, followed, and the following line is said: "Eat my meat, you vegan." Spectacular. Just spectacular. So Arby then has a fantasy about a threesome, which ends with him actually humping the cash register. Awkward. Meanwhile, Jared ends up dying when he basically gives birth to a zombie chicken out of his asshole and stomach. This leads to another musical interlude while Arby sings while cleaning the shit-covered bathroom. So the owner of American Chicken Bunker comes in, who looks like a fat Colonel Sanders in a big limo. For some of the protesters outside some food, and they all love him. That was a quick resolution to that plot thread. Cut to Sancho, the gay Mexican, humping a chicken sandwich. Okay, answer me this. Why does the Spanish guy have to have sex with the food? I mean, this is how my people are portrayed in cinema, because apparently I'm Mexican.
I'm sorry, Dave, but that's just not gonna fly, okay? You're Puerto Rican. Come on, stop it.
I am. Tim said I was Mexican, so I'm Mexican.
I wish I had that kind of power.
the last episode of Sequel This. So, well, Tim, I'm Mexican. Sorry, Tim, but I had to throw that in.
Yes.
Anyway, he died by being pushed into a meat grinder. Which leads to homosexual Mexican dying noises, obviously musical in a morbid kind of way. The general, as he's called, comes in, and with the manager and Arby, sees the carnage of our poor Latin friend and basically ignores it, telling him to clean it up and keep the doors open. Also, the term camel jockey is used towards hummus. Because hooray, tolerance! They begin making sloppy Jose's in a bloody kitchen. The health department must love them. So, cue Hillbilly Carl as he fucks a chicken carcass, which leads to his unfortunate demise as it bites him, and he sort of dies from blood loss, actually becomes a zombie chicken, but who's counting? Okay. So you see, much like other horror movies, this film punishes people for having sex. Just this time, it's sex with food. Don't have sex with food, kids. Wendy's hairy lesbian lover completely turns and starts eating the chicken, which is apparently filled with flavor pods. Basically green pulsating bubbles that turn everyone into a killer zombie chicken. Including the general who is forced to eat one, then starts farting and shits out an egg. Out hatches a zombie chicken, which causes the general to bite its head off. Confused yet? I know. It's a dense, layered plot filled with... Anyway, Arby and Wendy reconcile, but everyone in the town that's eaten at American Chicken Bunker turns into zombie chickens, which causes problems like them killing those that aren't zombie chickens in brutal ways. Like heads being torn off, eating eyeballs, making eggs with some poor victim's brains. So you can say the shit has hit the proverbial fan. Even one man grows egg breasts that hatch and then kill him. You have to give it to this film for creativity. Arby and Wendy fight their way back to the back. Oh, I forgot to mention, Arby fights zombie hillbilly Carl, who has a broomstick up his ass, and he fights salad tongs and defeats him by jerking him off, causing zombie hillbilly Carl to spew green goo. Then they meet future Arby, don't ask me why, where he tries to warn present-day Arby about not pursuing a career in fast food. And Arby and Wendy have an I love you moment, which leads to a song about the two of them. The chickens are trying to get into the area, but there's always time for a song. So they are trapped in the area, and the chickens are bursting in when Hummus decides she is going to sacrifice herself to save the town. She then takes off her burqa-like ninja outfit to reveal a very hot white woman in a bikini, because why not? She has a bomb strapped to her and runs out, blowing herself up and allowing Arby and Wendy to escape with a random little girl. I didn't mention her prior to this because I do not remember or have any idea how she got there. She's there. They get into the car and drive away feeling safe. But then the little girl farts in the back seat and then shits out an egg, apparently, which causes them to scream and lose control of the car. It careens out of control and explodes, killing everyone! The end! Except for a little dance sequence featuring the zombie chickens. So that's my synopsis. And I will say, while I don't think this movie is what I would call good, it was definitely, in my opinion, the best one that I've watched for you guys so far. It had that trauma ridiculousness that has a certain gross charm to it. But overall, not a waste of my time, but not my favorite film of all time either. The weird thing is that I could swear that I've seen this movie before years ago. Now, I'm not sure if it was something old that we all watched or some. I don't remember, but some parts were familiar.
Maybe something from one of our Halloween marathons.
Could have been. I don't know. Something was oddly familiar. It was like a weird sense of deja vu when I was watching it. But anyway, that's it, and I still hate you both.
Well, Dave, I think I can speak for Chris and I both when I say that was absolutely awesome, as always. But before we go any further, we have a special surprise for not only our dear listeners, but for Dirty Dave Rodriguez, coming live from THSP's Thanksgiving Kids Table, the one and only Marcus Muriel Risman from the second half of sequel This. It's now a mini Sever Pod reunion Thanksgiving style. Come on down, Mark.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Pass the fucking mashed potatoes. I'm fucking hungry. I just sit through that. A lot of mashed potatoes.
I heard that cat, and I said, wait a minute.
Dave knows a cat anywhere. I used to make cat noises. That was like just a little fun clue, because like when Dave and I would have sleepovers, we'd play this really cute game called That Darn Cat. And Dave would be like, hey, Mark, it's your turn to be that darn cat. And I'd be like, okay. And Dave would like scurry under his sleeping bag, and then he would roll it up so that he couldn't like breathe under there. And I would walk around, and I'd be like, and I'd rub against his sleeping bag. And Dave would be like, I know which side you're on, because I can feel you.
It's true.
Should I not tell that story?
Well, I don't care. It's out there now.
Yeah, it sounds weird, but it's funny already. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The weird thing is Dave always made me be the cat. I could never be the guy in the sleeping bag.
Well, I was very bossy when we were young.
I have to say, Mark, you were a good sport, Mark, because you managed to sit somewhat quiet for the previous 20 minutes to get to this part. Oh,
it gave me just enough time to masturbate 3 times.
and did you cuddle with yourself?
No, I don't cuddle after sex with myself. You're disgusting.
I thought I heard meeping in the background, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I was trying to cover it up too a little. Not to give away the
You did an admirable and slutty
what?
Job.
That's what Tim... Mark was like, and Tim was like, oh, yeah, Got cold. Hey, sorry, guys.
That's my
I
best.
I thought we were just playing a game.
Mark, that's the best annual review I've ever gotten from an employer.
You say annual review?
Hey, now, I'll buy that for $1. Hello.
Because, I mean, I have some notes on your annual review.
Jesus.
He showed me your midterm report.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm looking at the weenus and I'm not liking it.
Oh, you like my weenus just fine.
Meow.
In your sleeping bag, it's time for a little purr effect. Seriously, guys, mashed potatoes. Come on. I'm hungry. You're making me sit at the kid table this whole time.
Yeah, hey. I'm not the one that's cooking. I'm a guest, too, and I haven't been fed.
Hey, quick question, guys. If I eat a lot of cranberry sauce, does this...
Boy?
No, hold on. I got a real question. If I eat enough cranberry sauce, will it stave off all of my UTIs?
Probably.
Or does that be cranberry juice?
I don't think it matters either way, to tell you the truth.
Okay, good. Good.
Okay, good. I hope he bought it. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the only answer I can give you.
Oh... My pee burns.
You hear him go to the bathroom. He's like, oh, sweet Lord, no.
Just a razor blade.
Someone's got to get a shot.
Call him gallstone listening.
Shots of UTIs. Oh, I think I doctor you go to, Tim?
Tim, I'm having problems peeing again. It must hurt. Here's a giant shot that goes up your pee hole.
That was just me fucking with you.
Yeah, they used to play that game.
Too. Actually, Mark, isn't that the way how they used to do it in the oldie days, I believe? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's called docking.
Back in the Oregon Trail days. Oh, you got typhoid? Pull down your pants.
You're covered wagon.
Do you want to turn your penis into a boat to cross the river? Would you like to use your penis to hunt oxen? No.
Dude, you can do it, Dave. I believe in you.
Oh, I've clubbed many an oxen with this penis.
That was another game we used to play. I was the oxen.
So Mark, since you're here, maybe you can tell... I remember you telling me about this movie, I think, way back when... I mean, I'm trying to remember, but I have faint memories of you telling me about this.
So like that, yeah.
Yeah?
I did tell you about this a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
It's funny because this movie, so here's the thing. It's bizarre. When this movie first came out, I got super hammered and watched it because I feel like the older you get, trauma films... They can still work on you, you know, the magic of the disgustingness of it and the hilarity.
Yeah.
But you have to be in a certain state of mind.
Right.
So, for example,
I rewatched it this morning just to kind of prep myself a little bit, because it's been a while since
I
saw it.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. So, Tim sent me the link for it. But I was eating a king's breakfast. It was a giant breakfast. It was delicious. And I turned it on, and I forgot how absolutely disgusting it is. So that's the first thing. You just don't watch a trauma movie when you're eating a breakfast. Here's the thing. It was an omelet, so there was eggs involved in this breakfast.
Right.
A mistake. It was all a mistake. But here's the thing.
Bad choice.
Exactly. The movie, when it first came out, I actually thought it was one of the better trauma movies in a long time, you know, and I still stand by that. I think it's one of the better ones, if that means anything to anybody. But it's great. You know what's funny, though? I think I've seen this movie 3 times now, unfortunately. but it took me until this time to realize that all the characters' names in this movie are fast food chain restaurants.
Yeah.
It finally hit me, and I'm like laughing about it, because I'm like, I'm such an idiot.
I love the black guy when he says, I was going to have my own idea for a restaurant. Denny's. It's his name. And I'm like, oh, come on.
There's no turkey in this movie, though, you stupid assholes.
That's right. This is nothing. I mean, this is just, I mean, chickens, which are also poultry.
Yes, that's what we figured, okay?
It's the other white meat, okay? The other white meat.
Look, our budget was slashed. We couldn't do a turkey, so it had to be a chicken. So, you know, sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. I just like that this podcast is perfect because you've got some white meat and you got a little bit of dark meat in this episode.
Just like Thanksgiving.
But everybody likes dark meat, so, you know, good job, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants some of this Mexican dark meat.
Slice me off a thick piece of that dick of yours, Dave.
Well, you know, Mark, you mentioned that you consider this to be one of the better trauma films by far, you know.
Of recent. Yeah, sure. I like a lot of their older films.
Yeah,
so
I'm
a fan of their older movies.
I would stack this one right next to Toxic Avenger. And it's interesting because if you think about it, Toxic Avenger is the one film that trauma made that really sort of like put them on the map for that kind of, you know, outrageous gory humor where it, you know, it makes fun of everything, you know, the establishment, the genre that it's supposed to be about, and that's sort of where this film is going too. I have to say, for as ridiculously awful as it is, it's actually probably, I would also say, one of Troma's more polished efforts.
I think it's because Lloyd Kaufman came back and directed it. You know, before it's like they just had so many different strings of directors come in that were nobodies, essentially, that worked for Lloyd, because Lloyd's great, but like he's also a nice guy, actually. Most people don't realize that based off of these movies, but he's supposed to be a really good guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he gives a lot of people opportunities and stuff that maybe don't necessarily deserve those opportunities, but yeah.
I've actually recently I came across on YouTube some behind the scenes footage of this too, and you know, I mean, he is a nice guy, but when he's directing, he's very, very strict, like, because, you know, I remember one time in an interview he did say that no matter how silly or stupid the movie is, you know, he really cares about getting the film made and putting the best effort that can be put into it, and you kind of see his frustrations.
Shows.
And you see his frustrations.
He's also got nice legs, Chris.
Yeah. It's his cameo in this movie is
doesn't quit.
What the fuck is up with their outfits, man? Like, everybody has to wear tutus underneath their, like, is that standard? Tim, you tell me.
Was that a kilt more than anything? I don't know if it was
tutu. No, there was like a tutu underneath it. There was a frilly tutu underneath it.
I don't know. Now, Mark, you mentioned recent
effort. I was
paying
attention, Tim. I'm always looking for tutus on men.
Yeah. Tim, don't gloss over the tutu questions.
It's very important. I don't know. Answer the question, Tim.
I don't know anything about tutus, all right?
I object.
You can't handle the truth. You're out of order. But you, going back to something you recently mentioned, Mark, you said that this was their most recent effort.
Like what tonight? Did I mention it tonight?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago. You mentioned.
I might remember. I'm drinking. Unlike Dave, who's drinking his Coke Zero like a pussy. Speaking of, there were so many times you guys were talking, I was like, I wanted to say something. and I couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
That's why I meowed.
Wow, this is, like, without question, the greatest reunion ever.
Awesome. Hey, this is kind of a little reunion here.
Yeah, right. So you mentioned that this was trauma, the recent trauma, you know, most recent, you know, polished film. Has there been any other ones? I mean, because I'm not a big trauma guy at all. I mean, I've seen a Toxic Avenger and a few other movies, but is there anything else that has come out within the, let's say, because it was 2006, so you figure it's been a few years. Has there been anything else that
returned to Nukem High? Didn't they?
Yeah.
They broke it off into two parts. But I didn't really care for those, to be honest. They didn't really work for me. I like the original one, but I haven't really cared about any of those since then. I did like Citizen Toxie, though, the fourth one.
Oh, yeah, you showed me that one, too.
Yeah, you remember we watched that? It was great.
I know.
That was my favorite joke in all these movies, when he grabs the Bible and then the same thing. He's like, but Toxie, church and state should always remain separate. And he slams the Bible and the legend. What was the other book he had?
It was like the Constitution or something,
Yeah, he takes both books and he just smashes somebody's head. And they're like, but Toxie, church and state should always remain separate. Great show.
Yeah, that's Lloyd Kaufman for you. It always has to be. He's sort of like George Romero in one sense, except, you know, George would sort of do subtle hints once in a while here. Yeah, Lloyd just whacks you over the head with it to the extent we were. Yeah.
Literally, apparently.
Which Toxie sidekick was what's his name, Jared, in this movie?
Oh yeah, I forget his name too, but yeah, he was. Yeah, it is the same guy. Yeah, talk about unbelievable? But that's the point. In Citizen Toxie, doesn't his character like somehow manage to eat a giant like you know bomb attached to a battery?
He does. Yeah. Yep.
But we never see him actually eat it. He just puts mustard on it, and then, you know, you cut away to the people's reactions, like, oh my god, I can't believe he's eating that.
You know, I gotta be honest, I was actually really sad that they censored his anus. I really wanted to see his anus in this movie. When I watched the talks, I was like, show me the anus.
You got to see a lot more of it than...
Dude, I mean, come on! Like Dave, you and I used to work in when we worked at Boston Market. We never had this much fun, you know. Nobody shit up and down. Nobody painted the entire bathroom with shit, you know.
But you guys used to walk around with broomsticks in your buttholes, right? I mean, come on, that's just
It was just spits.
And we used to sword fight with them.
Actually, you know what?
Do you remember when I stole the spit from?
From
Boston Market, I put it down my pant leg, and I walked around like I had a limp, and I stole an actual spit.
You had like a peg leg.
Yeah, and I had it for years. Remember, you come over and I pull it out, and you'd be like, "Yes, I know you still have the spit from Boston Market."
Well, you know,
I wonder where that spit's at now.
Oh,
bubble flashback.
After Mark, they didn't let me refer anybody. I got Mark the job. And then Mark was fired, and then they didn't let me refer anybody.
I got myself fired, but then I also got myself rehired, because I'm persuasive.
You did.
You can put that... I did, I got rehired.
But then you got fired again, didn't you?
No, I didn't get fired. I quit. I was like, they rehired me, and I came back for a day, and I was like, yeah, I win, fuck you, and I threw the spit at one of them.
It was like half-baked. He was like, fuck you, you're cool, and I'm out.
Well, Mark, with those pants back in the day, you could probably stick anything out of there with that in those pants.
You know, like, oh yeah. Dude.
Well, hey, Dave.
Everyone stole Dave from his house. Like,
he put me in his JNCO jeans.
Well, hey, Dave.
Dave was like a little kid. He just sat on my foot, and I just walked him around underneath my JNCO jeans.
Oh, dude, tell me you still have those pants somewhere.
Yeah, Tim, I got them somewhere.
Hey, Dave, real quick.
Do you want me to wear them for you in December?
Yeah, with your goggles, too, please.
I'll fucking do it. None of you will want to sit by me, but you have no choice. Assigned seating now. That's the day and age we live in. You can't get away from this shit.
Hey, Dave, I thought the bathroom scene, you would like that, because, you know, I think at one point, didn't you tell us that, you know, you had some kind of admiration for, I don't know, explosive diarrhea or something like that? I mean, I'm trying to get this right, so...
I don't recall ever having that conversation, but
well,
I don't recall our having an epiphany about explosive diarrhea.
Well, Mark's now saying he remembers. Why don't you tell us, Mark?
I do remember. Dave has an affiliation with the Explosive Diarrhea. He's a big fan of it. When we went to the horror film festival recently, Dave went to the bathroom, and he came out, and he's like, this is great, but, that bathroom really could use some diarrhea. And I was like, I hear you. I'm working on it. Drinks more, ate a lot of candy.
We were drinking beer, and then we had Taco Bell at 2 in the morning. Oh, we were trying. Yeah.
We were trying everything we possibly could to get that to happen. Trying. Sorry, Dave. Next time, buddy. Next time.
But I digress.
So, Dave, I wanted to ask you a question about this.
Yes!
I mean, of course, the big giveaway in this film, the big plot twist, I guess, that Lloyd Kaufman is actual future Arby, is that Arby has a tattoo that says "Go Yankees" on his ankle.
I put a note on, like, that was in my notes, but when I was doing the synopsis, I just couldn't figure out a way to work it in, so I was just like, forget
there
it.
There you go. I got it. I got you in. Now talk about it.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Have one like it?
No, because you know what? They put it on his ass.
And go Yankees.
Like, Yankees are ass.
That's what they said, yeah. That's what I'm wondering. How do you feel about that?
I mean, everybody hates the Yankees, but, there's a lot of people with no taste in this world, so it's like...
You know what? That tastes really good, that diarrhea-filled bathroom.
It makes you want some meatloaf.
Oh, God. You got weird cravings.
No, it's funny.
I'm pregnant.
It's not mine.
It's yours.
No.
Mark and I are going on Maury Povich tomorrow. Getting a paternity test.
I didn't come inside of you, Dave. I pulled out.
And then the explosive... Oh, never mind. Forget it. We'll leave it.
Now, also, Chris, I wanted to ask you, did you ever fuck a sandwich before? I'm just curious.
Well, there was one time... you know what?
Yes!
No.
I'm listening.
It was a meatball sub.
Meatloaf?
Dave gave it to me. He said, here, I think you'll enjoy this. So,
hand.
I am a sandwich sex aficionado, apparently. Also...
We got sandwiches that are horror movie marathon, remember, Dave?
We did. I had a roast beef.
You know how Dave eats sandwiches? He eats it like he eats a pussy.
Can you describe it? Can you describe it?
In detail?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, first he unhooks the bra of the sandwich.
Lots of teeth and gumming
points. He slowly drags his hand down. I mean, this feels like Thanksgiving, guys. I'm just wondering.
It really does. It does.
That's how all my Thanksgivings go.
You know what? I envisioned that this reunion would be great, and so far, so good. So that's all that matters.
You know what, though? I could actually see the listener count lowering rapidly.
We don't care at this point. You know, for us, this is just all fun and games.
They'll be back. They'll be back.
It's all fun and games until you have a random lesbian orgy. Just like in this movie.
Yeah.
And then a random song number.
It's so funny. Like, no joke, today I'm watching it, okay? And my wife walks in the room while there's the orgies. One of the numerous arty orgy scenes, where he's just sitting there while these chicks are rubbing their breasts, and Kara walks in and she's just like, I see you're having a good day. I see you're having a good day. I was like, what does that mean? Always having a good day.
It means you're having a good... Mark, why do you read into it? It means you're having a good day.
Mark's like, this is research! Christ's sake.
With big air quotes.
This is work!
I could tell she was into it, though.
Mark was like, ah?
All of a sudden, Mark cut to Mark humping the monitor of this computer.
Oh, my register. My spit.
Oh, God. The spit. Jesus.
One more. That was a Severpod episode. Remember Twilight Zone, guys? We talked about that.
Yeah, yes, we did. Mark, real quick, though, do you still have some of those episodes? I mean, the raw, uncut material?
I got all.
You do?
I got every single episode of Severpod.
Okay, awesome. Because the one I and I'm sure you've heard me mention this, and Tim's heard me mention this, but the one I really wish that we could repost is the German horror one. I think.
Oh god! No,
remember
that night, guys?
Oh god!
It was a great night.
I remember
so much fun sitting at Tim's couch just watching German horror films
on YouTube. Wow!
And I remember after we watched them, I turned to you guys. I said, because they were so awful, but I was like, turning to you guys. I said, guys, are you like in a lot of pain? Because I am.
And Tim was just, his response was,
yeah, I'm nothing.
Because he fell asleep like normal.
I want us to repost Puppet Master.
Oh yeah, for your great Milo.
Milo, yes.
Yeah.
It's actually funny you brought that up, Dave, because Mark was like, should I come on and pretend like just mix shit up like Dave did for the Footmaster episode?
That was legendary. I don't know what the hell I was talking about.
I decided to be better than Dave and actually watch the movie.
Loser. Yeah, I'll be honest. I was kind of afraid.
Mark, the bar was set kind of low, so it's okay.
But you know what? I was kind of...
Oh, is that a short joke?
Come on.
But I was kind of... Yeah, I was kind of afraid because I thought Dave was like going to half-ass this, but he actually brought in the whole, you know, this whole game on this one. So
when have I ever half-assed it in the history of me doing this?
Not the history of you doing this, but again, the Puppet Master episode.
Puppet Master was on 20 minutes notice. Mark was like, "You want to jump on?" I'm like, "Sure." I haven't seen the movie. Mark's like, "Who fucking cares?"
No, that was. That was, I gave you 3 weeks time. You came in and just, listen, guys. Jose Paco Bell.
Carl?
Hey guys, I gotta pee really quick. Vamp for me.
Not joking. Well, while Mark is busy, Tim.
He's a professional.
Yeah.
Stuffing his you know, turkey.
Yeah, Tim, why don't you tell us what you thought about this movie? You know, we haven't really gotten your opinion yet, so.
It was all right. It's not something I feel the need to watch again, like, ever. But,
what, you don't want to share this movie with your friends and your family?
You guys are kind of my friends and family, and I don't want to watch this movie again. You can't make me. I didn't like it. I mean, it was better than, you know, Thanksgiving 1 and 3.
Yeah.
But I think the best of the worst was probably Blood Rage.
Boo. No, actually, you're correct, I think.
I like this movie better than Blood Rage. Blood Rage was hot shit.
Yeah, right. I mean, I will be honest. Again, you know, this is like a more polished production from Troma. Blood Rage, I mean, yeah, I can see your point, Tim, but
yeah.
In comparison, in comparison, it's like the most flatly shot movie I've ever seen,
as opposed to this
one where it's actually got coverage and it feels like it's got things happening.
I guess just from a horror movie standpoint, I'm not talking just, yeah, I understand what you're saying about flat and how this was different, but I was never a big trauma guy, so I mean,
yeah.
I did watch a few trauma films here and there, but not like you guys, so yeah. I'm like, it's the best trauma film. I'm like, well, that's okay, whatever, I'll take your word for it. I don't have much to, you know.
To Tim, it's like being the least smelliest turd. You still stink. Just like, a little less, like, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as soft or hard as the other ones. I don't know.
but it's okay. It's not a great movie at all.
I will say this. I'll you know, piggyback off what Dave said earlier about, I wasn't expecting the musical numbers.
Yeah, me neither. All. I forgot about that too. I didn't expect
what
those.
What the fuck is this? And when the drunken Indian, you know, threw up in the parking lot, I'm like, and when Dave mentioned, yeah, because stereotypes are fun, I'm like, I couldn't help but laugh because it was so spot on.
You know what's great about that is I just realized while I was going and taking a pee and diddling myself in the bathroom and getting another beer all at the same time,
You're multitasking.
Native Americans, guys, come on. There it is.
There's your connection.
Yes.
Mark, you finally hit the nail on the head, man.
I figured it out. There it is.
You had to really stretch for it. You had to really want to see it.
Yeah, yes. God bless the Native Americans.
God bless America.
Thank you, Dave, for making those sounds.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Marina.
God.
Sorry, it's been a long day.
Marina? Well, I mean, the Nina and the Pinta were probably parked in the marina, I guess. That's the weird one. I don't love them.
Oh man.
Well, guys, this has been so much fun breaking bread. I'm excited about all this.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Hey, let's celebrate!
Let's talk about Wendy's tits. I'd like to talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
They were nice. I like boobs.
Yeah.
There we go.
You pour it, you know, it's nice.
That is nice.
It's nice.
I enjoyed them.
The castle.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of boobs in this movie. It was great. Boobs were nice.
Well, it's a trauma film.
They're planet.
Can you imagine...
by assholes. Shit.
And giant mutant chicken dicks, which is, you know...
That is true.
That shoot green goo out when they get turned on,
yeah,
which is...
so...
And everybody knows... The bad. Everybody noticed the Carl Jr. Jaw speech in the middle of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, Tim.
I gotta admit, I really enjoyed the quasi-plot twist with him, you know, where he staged Wendy's lesbian girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, as she was just making it all up just to really sell, you know, the chicken to the crowd.
Yeah.
That was cleverish. I'll give the movie that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to, you know, give him a baby fetish, which, you know, was both hot and mystifying. So there's that. You know, guys, I gotta ask, let's go around the room really quick. Does anybody have a fetish that they'd like to share? Tim, go first.
Speakeasy Podcast Network.
That's your fetish?
Yes, I love it. I listen to you all, guys.
I feel
all the
so
time.
Bad for Christina. You're so boring. Dave, if I know you have a fetish.
Oh, you kidding me? Woodworking equipment.
Power saw.
Yeah.
Mine is anything that's hydraulic.
That's right.
So anything we would actually suction. We should hang out. We should kick it.
Anything with suction.
Those vacuum cleaners.
Anything with suction and a dirt catching bag.
That was Chris's nickname when we used to play.
Oh, you remembered. You remembered, Mark.
It was a term of endearment.
Was it? Was it, Mark? God damn.
Chris, what's your fetish?
Having you on this show and just listening to that voice of yours, I don't know why.
The two regular hosts have weak sauce answers.
How about you, Mark? What's yours?
I already said it's hydraulics. Anything that's hydraulic, you know, I can hear the pistons churning, you know, just the sound of like steam shooting out. You know, probably if I watched a good steampunk movie, I would probably just have action the entire time.
Yeah,
Something about old-timey, you know, coats and hats and everything, and then, like, things that can fly on steam. I mean, that does it for me, too.
You know what? That's good.
I just came.
Sorry.
This is a great reunion. Reunion over.
I'm already feeling instant regret.
Good. Good. Mission accomplished. Dave never has to be back on again. Does this mean all further appearances of us are going to be removed from the docket?
Tim is gonna edit this episode from when Mark jumps in, like right after. He's gonna have the synopsis and then goodbye, everyone.
And then I'm gonna hear it and I'm gonna go, "Where's the rest of the episode? Where's the rest of it?"
I would do it too.
Yeah, well, Tim. Tim will dub in my voice. Tim will be like, "And Dave said, hello." goodbye, everyone.
Dave, we need you to do that four more times for editing purposes.
You guys can't see this at home, but Tim is actually dressed like Speedy Gonzales.
He is. It's off-putting. It's a little off-putting.
Yeah.
That's also what Chris gets turned on by the most. That's his fetish. Speedy Gonzales.
Well, that's a minor fetish. You know, it's not the main one, but it's not exactly a go-to, but it's close.
Number five on his list.
Yeah, but
I'm going to show up one day dressed like Speedy Gonzales on your doorstep.
And then I'm just going to say, open the door and say, well, come on in, man. Let's get this going.
Mark's like, have you found the Lord?
And then I say, get
out.
And if he says that, I say, get out. Folks, this is the genius of our episode. We just sit back, turn the mics on, and just let her rip. So, all right,
genius is a strong word, Chris.
Ripping farts.
Let's turn this train around, guys. Come on, because you can do that. Trains can turn around real easy.
Yeah,
they just have to make illegal U-turns, right?
Yeah.
Just have to pull a U-E.
What's your guys' favorite scene in this movie, Chris?
Favorite scene. Well,
I know what it is.
What is it?
The father adjusts his toupee. You love that moment.
Actually, no, that wasn't it. But it could have been one of the great moments of this movie. No, I will be honest. I did laugh probably a little more than I should at the bathroom scene. I don't know what it was, but it was just.
I had a feeling.
Sprayed shit.
I don't know what it
reminded me of is in those really bad like 80s horror movies when they didn't quite know how to spray blood properly. You know?
Obviously, yeah.
But just shit.
Yeah. Well, it also
has a different consistency than blood.
I mean, you're the expert.
Okay, I got to ask the expert. Ask the expert.
I'm like the Dexter of shit splatter.
Well, okay.
I mean, you know, there's people that go around telling people what their nickname is, and there's people like Dave who tells people that he's an expert in this,
and he shows it.
Yeah, I'm impressed, Dave.
Well, okay. Yeah. How about your favorite scene, Mark? What's your favorite?
Oh, I feel like we're fighting right now.
No.
Your scene. No, I'm just kidding. my favorite scene is when the what's-his-face gets the broom up the ass. And once again, the poor... I'm sorry. The poor girl, Hummus. I love when she corrects them, too.
Hummus.
In a more racist way. She gets accused the second time for murdering somebody and being racist. She makes it worse by shoving the broom up his asshole and it comes out his pee hole. You know, I think I like that scene because I've always wondered what that felt like.
No! Come on!
Cheating that for me.
Oh, well,
amazing.
How about you, Dave? What's your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, man. I would say end credits. No. The lesbian three-way.
Oh, well, there you go.
Everybody. Amazing.
How about you, Tim?
Oh, God. Probably the guy that grows the chicken the breasts with the eggs, and then they hatch and then, you know, pop out and peck them to death.
Very
You know what to do, Dave. Tim's also revealed his fetish now to us.
Egg boobs.
Egg boobs!
Yes. Or tatas.
Well, it was very unexpected, if you think about it. Who would have thought?
Egg boobs, Tim's favorite moment!
I'm going to show up with a bra, and I'm just going to stock it full of eggs, and just be like, hey, Tim, you want some breakfast? Tim's going to be like, oh, I'm horny.
Yeah, make me an omelet, Mark.
But what if he accidentally, like, reaches over and grabs them and he smashes them? Then what?
Then I'm going to be runny.
And sticky.
So will Tim, though.
So it all works out, basically.
Yeah, well, both of you, Ronnie.
And Sticky. You know. Well, it's a comedy duo. It's fine. People will pay money to see it.
No.
So, Tim, are you going to edit this episode for content?
Probably not.
The whole episode would sound like...
Wait, hold on, guys. Let's talk about Arby, going away to college. What was it? His mom was retarded, and his dad was... What was wrong with his dad?
He was blind. He was blind.
That's right. He had no ability to achieve life, but... Speaking of butt, he had his butt plug, remember?
Oh, God.
The broken...
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, he carried it around.
Like a trophy. Does any of you guys have a butt plug, Chris?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, wait, yes. Oh, wait.
Is it a zombie finger?
Define butt plug.
I mean, yes.
No, but it is, surprisingly enough, a chicken's head. Ooh.
Oh, excellent. Sven Gulli would love you.
I know, with a passion. How about you, Dave? What do you got?
What?
I know what Mark has, something with hydraulics.
You know it. You know it's on steam and hydraulics.
I never answered. Definitely maybe.
It's also the name of Dave's memoir, by the way.
And an Oasis album.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what, Mark? Dave. Oh,
he was listening to the album.
No, Mark. I was going to say Dave did show me his manuscript for his memoirs, and I can definitely tell you it's like 30 pages of blank pages.
That's hey, all Dave, it is. Dave, you're my Wonderwall.
That's all it is, man.
Wrong album.
There's only one.
No, that was on their second album.
Oh, you're a fishing addo on Oasis too now.
I mean, I tell you what,
My memoir is just a choose your own adventure.
Except there's nothing on the page.
That's right. Turn to page 20, there's nothing. There's a picture of Dave. Okay. I don't understand.
Was that a yawn or a sigh?
A little bit of both.
Best Thanksgiving reunion ever.
Oh. Oh, man.
Well, next time we get together, we need to get fancy in it, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Fearsome Five.
No. You don't want to drag him into this.
The rage of fancy. Fancy coming on next month.
Yeah, he is. We're going to be doing it. Well, you know, we can say it. Why not? Let's do it, Dave. We know what we're going to be doing for Christmas episode.
I was asked to plug your guys' episodes anyway, so go take it away.
Yeah, we're gonna actually be doing Black Christmas 2.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what we're doing for our Christmas episode. So nice. I'm excited. It's actually, it's one of those things where I actually didn't think about doing this because I love Black Christmas so much, but because they're doing that fucking awful-looking remake, I'm like, you know what? Fuck them. I'm going to write a better sequel to it.
Awesome.
Because if they're
going to
keep remaking this movie, I'd rather see a sequel happen, you know, at this point.
You know, why would they, if you think about it, it's like it didn't work the first time. What would make them think it would work the second time?
Hey, Chris, did you hear this? It's going to be PG-13.
Yeah, I saw it.
I just read about that on your actual the sequel this Facebook page.
Oh. Yeah, so that's my thing. Like, I actually, even though sequel this is a show, clearly about doing sequels to movies, it's mostly just for fun, honestly, obviously. But
right.
if my point is this, if you're going to do a remake, a second remake, I'd rather it just be a sequel, whether it works or not.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, to me, it's always better to do a sequel to a franchise than do a remake. Because really, unless it's like one of those movies where the original was okay, you know, but there was a lot of like a lot left to be desired. I don't usually remember. I don't mind a remake because sometimes they make it a little bit better. But how often does that happen? It's very rare.
Yeah.
That the remake is better than the original. Remakes are junk, people. They just are.
It's just a recreation, you know. It's like doing it again, but, you know.
What would what would be a sequel to Poltergeist, guys? Let's talk about that.
Oh, God.
Hey, Dave. Dave's like, I want to go to bed.
Poltergeist. They did do a sequel.
Chris, I just had an idea. We have Dave write another sequel to Poltergeist for next year.
Oh, man. Uh-oh.
We did with Thanksgiving.
That sounds
what Dave is feeling at this moment.
You know what? That's a great idea, but just to put Dave at ease, we'll save that for next year. You know, just,
call it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Next year,
other thigh.
Yeah. The other thigh.
Actually, you know, let's put it on the spot right now. Let's have you do the sequel. Do the sequel for that right now, Dave.
All right.
All right, that's there good. We'll make it.
that was the sequel. You're welcome.
Here's how the sequel would go, guys. Okay. Arby and Wendy would travel with the child that they stole because her mom's head got cut off, who was pregnant, you know, with the baby. And, they would go and take her to live with their grandma. I don't know whose grandma. Arby's grandma, maybe. And, you know, they would build a giant nest, and the little girl would sit on it until the egg hatched. And then a giant mutant chicken would come out. And they would just raise it as their own, and that's the entire movie. Thank you, guys.
Wow, this story. Boom. Oh man!
you'd have to explain how they survived the car crash and explosion.
Everything is explained. Beautiful.
No, because here's the thing: it would just cut back. Because it's a trauma movie, Tim, it's really easy. They would just, like, somehow, the movie would start with it being rewound, and they would be saved somehow.
Oh. Yeah. Or they managed to somehow jump out of the car before it even flipped over, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tim. No, mature Arby would come back from the future Terminator style again, and he'd be like, let's do this again, I messed up.
Oh.
And it'd be like Hoffman, and his legs would be out on display. Again. That's like, sexy as legs are. Did we talk about that enough?
I think we did.
I think we did.
On a future sequel this, I want us to do Stand and Deliver too.
Why?
If you don't have a ticket, you can't watch the show.
Well, guys, so to sum it up.
It's not over till we say it's over.
Yeah, goddamn it.
All right.
Just opened a fresh beer. He's got to go.
Mm-hmm. I got a whole other beer right now, guys. Come on.
Well,
let's do this.
Okay.
What do you got for me?
All right. Well,
ask
you a question. Okay. So to sum it up, Mark, what do you say? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, all the thumbs up. All of them. Yeah. I like how they make chicken. Gizzards and heads.
The tube rub. You rub it on your crotch and then you throw it in the fryer.
Or the special sauce that the gay Mexican creates.
It's perfect.
And he turns into a sandwich that can talk. It's amazing.
He does.
He turns into a sloppy Jose.
Can we convince anybody out there to watch this movie?
I don't know. Hopefully we did.
Yes.
I'm hoping Dave's review managed to convince our loyal listeners.
Oh, no.
That was like a long time ago. A lot has happened since the review was
that
written.
Was Dave had all of his hair back then. 35 minutes ago.
That was a long time ago. That was like an eternity ago. Why are you bringing up old shit?
That's what we love about you, Dave. You don't dwell on the past. You're all about moving forward.
That's right. You gotta live in the now.
So, Dave, what did you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Well, it was like the least smelliest turd out of all the
you
ones
told
that
us
you
that
guys
before.
Watch.
Okay.
So, I mean, on that front, I would say sideways thumb, sort of crooked. I mean, I can't say I loved it, but I didn't hate it. I just thought it was kind of odd. It was all right.
What,
I
it was kind of odd? You're telling me that not every trauma movie is odd? What?
Yeah, hey, I mean, I do like Toxic Avenger and stuff like that, so, I mean, I you know, like, it was all right, but it wasn't great.
Tim, I got a question for you real quick.
Yes, sir.
How many girls have you turned into a lesbian with your dry humping skills?
Oh, good question. Good
God,
question.
Oh, 116.
Wow. You are a dry humping pro.
That is an impressive number.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Did you inflate those numbers a little bit?
No. A gentleman never tells. Oh,
interesting. Interesting.
Lies detected.
Fuck you.
As a follow-up, can you please describe your dry humping technique for the class?
Yeah.
No. There you go.
Do you slide up the inner thigh?
Yeah.
Dave, yeah.
How much dry humping is too much dry humping? And how far do you go with said dry humping?
Now, here's the question, Chris. If you were caught dry-humping somebody in a graveyard and a homeless guy with an axe in one hand and a dick in the other, would that stop you from finishing the job?
No.
Good man.
Yeah, absolutely
that's a good
not.
Answer.
No. That would enhance the experience, actually.
Yeah, I would work harder.
Between the excitement and the fear that go in with it? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's interesting, because, like, it could go either way. Is he going to murder me, or is he going to join on the phone?
Oh, man. We are 72 minutes, and I will say this. I think this is the part where it really derails. It wasn't the previous part.
I just want to answer.
This episode has been brought to you by Kazda Productions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This movie sucks. The end. One finger up the butthole.
Wow.
You didn't like it?
Too crude.
Man, why'd you have to go there?
I mean, oh, crude.
This shit was PG before you started.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So what's your review of this episode overall?
One finger up the butthole.
Well, I feel like Dave and I talked a lot, but I didn't hear what you guys thought about the movie at all.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was all right. It wasn't great, obviously, but, you know, it was... It's fun to just watch how, like, over the top and just, you know, audacious it's trying to be. So, and of course, it's part of Troma's odd charm. So, but, you know, I mean, I laughed at some of it. Yeah, some parts of it were, like, really, like, kind of, like, I don't know, maybe the word tasteless is a little ridiculous to use. But there were parts that I laughed at, and there were parts where I kind of rolled my eyes like, all right, man, Jesus, you know. I think, I don't know who said it, maybe it was Dave or Tim before we started, but said it was like, it felt like it was like 10 minutes too long or 15 minutes too long.
Yeah, it's an hour and 46 minutes long.
I know.
Long. Yes. Yeah. It seemed actually, really long. Like, by the end of it, I was like, all right, come
yeah,
on.
Actually, Chris and I, we were talking about that before everybody else hopped on. I think it was like about 30 minutes too long. An hour 15 would have been fine.
It's a rock opera, guys.
It's an epic.
Oh, yeah.
If you
it's
think
not of, rock
it's
of
like
ages,
Street
okay?
of Fire.
Honestly, if you think about it, it's like it. This one does feel like a little more epic production from Troma.
It does.
I mean, it's got more makeup effects than usual. It's got like a lot of plenty of crowd scenes involving the protesters and everything.
Songs.
Yeah, songs. I mean, my God, and you know, it's like it really decided to go like balls out on everything, and you know, not all of it like works, but you know.
or you mean boobs out.
Yeah, boobs out, sorry. Yes. I mean, I can't say I'm going to give it a thumbs up, but I'm going to give it, like, you know, a thumbs in the middle, sideways, you know? I mean, approach it at your own risk, but at the same time...
You give it a poop-covered finger?
No, not really. No, I can't do that. I'm not going to steal a joke from the movie for this.
Why not?
It just feels like a cheap gag. I can't do it.
This whole episode is one cheap gag.
Well, yeah, it was if you think about it, but still. Some of us do have standards, Dave.
Life is cheap, and so are we.
But yeah, thumbs on the side, and we got Tim's nice, finger in the butt thing, so, okay.
It's always nice when Tim has a finger in the butt. Pleasant.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll break it out, right? You know,
Tim's got the pink in the butt. It's just
Jesus.
Dave.
You know, Dave, I know what your calling is now. You should be a shock jock on regular radio, just playing sound effects like that.
I would love it.
They would love that all day long, just playing sound effects.
And then somebody calls
you. Like a combination of that and the guy from Police Academy.
Oh God!
I'm a car.
Never mind.
I'm just like him.
Well, I don't have much else to say about this movie. I'm sure Tim doesn't. What about you guys? You have anything else you want to say about this?
Plenty. We got at least another hour of content.
Are you?
I like the poster.
What did you guys think of the sky?
The sky. Like that? You know what? I'm going to let you guys talk about it while I just sit over here and take a nap, okay?
Well, hold on, guys. I have a serious question. Where did they actually film, like, the restaurant? What was it an old restaurant? What was it?
I think it was an old McDonald's, I think.
Was it an old McDonald's?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like in Mac and Me, right? You guys want to talk about Mac and Me?
I haven't seen Mac and Me since it first came out in the theaters, man. It's been a long time.
You saw it in the theaters? Let's talk about that. That's crazy.
Someone doesn't want to go to bed yet.
Who says that?
You and Paul Rudd in the theater and that's it?
No.
Mark, didn't
you guys didn't see Mac and Me in the theaters?
No.
No, nobody did.
No one saw that.
Yeah, I did. Whatever.
Mark, didn't you say you saw Hellraiser 4 in the theater at one point?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Hellraiser 4? No, I never saw Hellraiser 4 in the theater. I don't think that was even in the theater, was it?
No, I thought you told me one time you saw... Oh, you saw the third one. Okay, never mind. Yeah, third one. Yeah,
Hell on Earth.
Yeah.
Ha! Okay.
The decent one. The last decent one.
The last decent one. Okay, yeah. All right. Damn it! Anyways...
Was that Inferno? Was the fourth Hellraiser Inferno?
Yeah, wasn't it like it took place in space at one point, and then it was like...
Oh, no, I did see four in the theater. You're right. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Good times. Were you there, Chris?
No, I was not. I was not there, but you told me about it.
You were 12, that's right. You were too young.
I was too young.
He was in the back. He's like, sometimes...
He was growing in the back.
Someone to sit in it. It's funny to me.
Oh, Dave, you know me so well.
That's actually a Chappelle Show reference.
Oh, well. All right.
Hey, Chris, remember when we saw Grindhouse together in the theater and you fell asleep?
No, actually, that was King Kong I fell asleep in.
Oh, it was King Kong. Yeah. We saw Grindhouse together, too.
Yeah, we did. I didn't fall asleep for that one. But
I don't know. I feel like you were sleeping. Every time I go to the theater with somebody, they fall asleep. It must be my... I don't think I'm good sexually in theater. I'm sorry, Tim and Chris. I'll be better.
Yeah, work on it.
Try hoping like Tim.
Work on it, man. Work on it.
Practice makes perfect, Mark. Yeah.
I wish you for the stars.
Yeah.
And your anus.
It's like the line in Family Guy, Mark, where Peter says to Meg, "You know, Meg, you're what we call a practice girl, okay?"
Diabetes. Who the hell did I hit?
I predict that our fans have turned this off at the 50-minute mark. So.
No.
They turned it off at the mark.
Yeah, the mark.
They started talking.
Good God. So, When Mark showed up, that was the big mistake.
Okay, guys, I won't be on it anymore, I promise.
Oh, no, you're welcome anytime. You're anytime.
That doesn't work for me, Mark. Yeah, you're coming up real close on your scheduled episode. I think you're looking for a way out now.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I got to jump on to it. Dave, yes.
Dave, hear the sound of the window crashing. Dive out of it.
I'll see what I can do.
Right, well, all I hear in my head is Mark's looking for a way out. Why isn't it?
Who is that? You might want to get that checked out. Hey, Mark, here you go. Oops, that's not right.
What?
All right, Dave, you have a do-over. Try it again.
I don't know what Dave's doing.
What the fuck was that?
What is that?
Tim Costa in
Titanic? What?
Don't you worry about it. You just relax over there.
I don't want to. It doesn't sound very pleasant.
Yeah, it sounds pretty scary coming from you, Dave. I gotta be honest.
I mean, you are 500 miles away, but okay.
So, Tim, if they made a Mac and Me 2, an actual one,
probably not. What are you doing next Thanksgiving, guys? I'll be there. We're washing our hair that day.
Yeah. No, our next.
Invited to dinner next year.
No, next year we're going to be doing a double. No, Mark, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Next year we're going to do a double feature of Ernest Scared Stupid and one of the Madea Halloween movies. So.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh boy,
that does sound good.
People can't wait not to listen to that.
Isn't there a Madea Thanksgiving movie?
There might have been, but I don't know if we want to go. Forget it.
Well said.
Fuck it.
You can tell Chris Koenig's batteries are fading.
Oh,
the
man.
Boss is looking for a way out. He's looking for a window.
Yeah.
So we can put a nice brown bow on this sloppy Jose of the episode. What?
Well, guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Your show, or
I think they, boy, they weren't listening. He wasn't listening, was he?
No, I was listening. I just figured they want to give it one more shot.
Well, if you like this, then you're gonna definitely like Sequel This.
Sequel This is a much more structured show, which actually has a beginning, middle, and end. It has segments and pitches. We encourage fan participation.
We encourage nothing. Okay.
I don't know. So, I love the unstructured, idiosyncratic aspects of our shows. I can't help.
All right, spell it.
I can't.
Use the word. You spell it.
I can't. I'm winding down, like you said.
Idiosyncratic. Using those big words.
Oh man.
I'm
just impressed he knows that word. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Well,
so, and finally, like all other specials before, I would like to thank our guest, Dave Marr, for being a part of our show and hanging out with Chris and I. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving from our podcast.
It was your pleasure.
it was my pleasure. Finger in the butt.
Oh, I'm here.
I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving from our podcasting family at THSP and the Speakeasy Podcast Network to yours and yours, and thank you for listening to us. Good night. What do
happy
you guys
Thanksgiving! Yeah!
Get it.
Oh, you guys are bananas.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening to our latest episode here at the Speakeasy Podcast Network. If you'd like to contact us, you can at thathorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We can be found on Facebook at That Horror Show Podcast, as well as the official Speakeasy Podcast Network Facebook page. So be sure to give us both your likes so you can keep up to date with us and all the other wonderful podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network. We are also on the Twitter machine at That Horror Show 1. And you can also follow the Speakeasy Podcast Network's Twitter handle at TheSpeakeasyPO1. And finally, if you do the gram, the Instagram that is, you can find me at Tim at That Horror Show Podcast. Thanks.
Thank you for listening.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.